This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, March 20th. I'm Tom Rogers. Coming up, while the average American home is upsizing, there are some people in the Midwest who are doing some extreme downsizing. We'll take a look at that and also get a weather forecast from meteorologist Scott Olthoff. First, a look at today's news. The head of Ameren in Illinois is calling for a return to some sort of state regulation of electric utilities. Scott Sissel says he wants a meeting between utility leaders and state officials about eliminating the auction process that resulted in sharp electric rate hikes in January after a 10-year rate freeze. And he says they should discuss letting utilities generate their own power again and signing long-term deals for power supplies. But Sissel says proposals to reinstate the rate freeze would be disastrous for his company. He says Illinois House passage of a return to the old rates played a role in Moody's downgrading of Ameren's credit rating last week, and that Senate passage could have a similar impact.
I recall that in Standard & Poor's bulletin, they had indicated that if a rollback rate freeze bill would pass the Senate chamber and go over to the House, if I recall it correctly, they were likely to take credit action at that particular time, which would not certainly be a good thing for the Ameren Illinois companies or employees.
Sissel warns against expecting a quick fix to soaring electric rates. Meanwhile, the Citizens Utility Board says Sissel's ideas should be considered only after the rate freeze is reimposed. A major architect of Illinois, Governor Rod Blagojevich's 2008 budget, tried to sell the proposal to business and civic leaders yesterday. Illinois' chief operating officer, John Filan, spoke to the City Club of Chicago. He discussed the governor's plan for a new tax on business transactions that he says would bring in over $6 billion. But Filan says the governor is willing to listen to the business community.
Those are the principles in the budget. No income tax increase, no sales tax increase, access to health care, fix the pensions, fund education. As long as those principles are met, if there's different combinations of things that can work, he's open to ideas.
Filan says the gross receipts tax is more equitable than other taxes because of its shared burden. Business leaders at the event were wary of the new tax, which they say could pose a large financial burden. A group of University of Illinois faculty is speaking up for a unique fund that helps professors do their research and in some cases attracts them to the U of I in the first place. The university is one of a handful in the country that has a campus research board. It doles out competitive grants of up to $25,000 to faculty for their projects. The head of the Faculty Senate, Vernon Burton, says that's especially valuable to professors in the humanities and other fields where research dollars are hard to come by. Burton says over time, the board has been a key selling point to new faculty.
As you know, we're pretty isolated at Illinois, and this allows you, if you're a historian or someone in art literature, to get funds to travel, to photocopy. And probably most crucial, I think, for faculty members is some support for research assistants.
But Burton says the research fund has shrunk under recent tight budgets for the U of I. It lost 25% of its funding last year, and Burton says he's worried it'll be cut again. Vice Chancellor for Research Charles Zukowski says the committee is considering alternatives to research spent for research spending, but he says that work does not amount to an attack on the humanities. A University of Illinois grad student's thesis claims to prove the health warnings associated with indoor smoking. An airborne pollutant study was conducted at 12 Urbana restaurants, both before and after that city's smoking ban went into effect. Results show the concentration of particles in the air was reduced by 92% after the ban. The study was done with the U of I Center for Prevention Research and Development. Its director, Peter Mulhall, says the next step is to look at the ban's financial impact in a number of Illinois cities, to be conducted by a U of I Chicago economics professor.
The Department of Public Health is supporting Professor Chalupka's work in looking at all the communities that are going with clean indoor air policies. Because as you know, the research shows or suggests that there isn't any changes in financial. There's a dip that comes after the initial, but it seems to come right back up.
The study at Urbana bars and restaurants was done with cooperation from other cities that have enacted bans, such as Springfield and Bloomington. Since Champaign smoking ban went into effect later, research in that city has yet to be completed. While many U of I students choose to spend this week at home, the opportunities for service work during spring break continue to expand elsewhere. Nearly 200 students are in various spots on the U.S. map as part of the U of I's Alternative Spring Break program. The Streetside Stories program, for instance, visits middle schools in San Francisco, where literacy continues to be a problem in a city where many use English as a second language. Classroom aide Lauren Haynes says the students are encouraged to write an autobiographical story and make a digital film out of it.
Writing is something they can connect to that can help them. My life is actually interesting to other people. It's not just something I have to deal with. And especially a lot of the students we're working with are in middle school, and we actually had to sit back and think about, like, what we went through in sixth grade and just how, you know, important having a crush on somebody in sixth grade is. It's like your world at that point.
Haynes, who's a senior engineering student, says the 11 U of I students teaching the course represent a full range of majors. She says her group emphasizes taking what lessons they've learned back to youths in Champaign-Urbana. Other alternative spring break projects include rebuilding homes and cleaning up in parts of New Orleans still recovering from Hurricane Katrina. For the latest newscast online, go to wyll.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Tom Rogers. New homes in America keep getting bigger and bigger. The average new American home is about 2,400 square feet. Moving up to a bigger house can seem like a sign of success, or it might feel necessary for a growing family. But in the face of pressure to buy big, some people are choosing to downsize their homes, way, way down. Rebecca Williams of the Environment Report visits some of the tiniest houses on the block.
Andrew Bemis lives in a little house on a corner.
Well, here it is. You've just about seen it. You're standing looking at the kitchen. You're in the living room. There's a study. And there's a bathroom behind that wall. And somewhere above the bathroom, there's a bed.
It takes a hop, skip, and a jump to cross from one end to the other. That's because his house is 300 square feet total. Andrew Bemis says a little house is better.
I'm not owned by it, first of all. That's one of the biggest things. I've only got one sink I've got to keep running. I've only got one of anything. Like, I don't have an entire house to take care of. I also leave town a lot, and I don't have to leave an entire house and worry about it.
Bemis is a musician. His love of music explains the 5,000 records lining one wall of his house and taking up precious space. Of course, he also makes room for his banjo. You just don't see tiny houses that much anymore. Some, like Andrew Bemis's, are remnants from the early 20th century. His tiny house is in a sleepy neighborhood that used to be the factory district. He's seen other little houses like his get torn down to build bigger, new ones.
Bigger is better, I guess. Bigger means you've achieved a lot more, but as far as I'm concerned, bigger generally just means that you're working a whole lot harder.
That's one reason people are choosing to live small. They're after a simpler life with less stuff. A smaller house costs less to buy and maintain. And some people argue smaller homes make better use of resources because they just use less of everything. Jay Schaefer says building small is the greenest thing you can do with a new home. He owns the Tumbleweed Tiny House Company. He designs and builds super small houses. He started with his own home. It was really tiny, 70 square feet. That's 7 feet by 10 feet.
It's a huge challenge. It's much harder than designing a large house. There's just no room for error. And if you want to do it well and get the proportioning right, you really have to consider everything as part of everything else.
Schaefer says to live in a tiny house, you have to figure out how much elbow room you need. Turns out 70 square feet was a tad too small for Jay Schaefer. So he traded up to 100 square feet. Schaefer says tiny houses are a tough sell for most Americans, but some people just love small little spaces. Schaefer calls himself a claustrophile. He's built 10 tiny houses and sold dozens more plans. Gregory Johnson is one of Schaefer's converts. He's a computer consultant in Iowa City. He lives in one of Jay Schaefer's high-tech tiny houses. It's just 140 square feet. But with a little bit of magic, one room turns into three.
You know, you can take what was an office, and in about 20 seconds, it converts into a dining area with the sink off to our right, because that's the kitchen.
Gregory Johnson says his tiny house has changed him. He says he had his doubts at first, like the time he visited Jay Schaefer at the construction site.
And he showed me this little hole that I was supposed to crawl through to get into it's the passageway up to the upstairs, to the loft. And so I thought, you know, I might have to lose some weight to get up in there.
Johnson says he started really scaling back. He realized if he had a refrigerator, he'd just fill it up with ice cream and pizza, things he really didn't need. So to save energy, he doesn't have a fridge at all. He started eating nuts and grains and fruit. By shrinking his life down to match his house, he lost 100 pounds. Johnson says tiny spaces don't work for everyone, but he says he has a fulfilling life with a whole lot less stuff and space to put it in. Many tiny house owners, such as Andrew Bemis, want their miniature homes to make a statement. Size does matter.
My house is a very small house. It's the littlest house there is. My house is a very small house. It's the littlest house there is. It's bigger than yours. Bigger than yours.
For The Environment Report, I'm Rebecca Williams.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the Joyce Foundation, the George Gund Foundation, and USDA's Cooperative Extension Service. You can learn more about Environment Report stories and subscribe to weekly podcasts at environmentreport.org.
Today should be a very nice day across the two-state area, but a good chance of rain moves in for the rest of the week, maybe some thunderstorms as well at times. The forecast from meteorologist Scott Olthoff for today calls for a partly to mostly sunny sky and highs ranging from 42 near the Chicago lakefront to 63 in the south. For tonight, in western sections of Illinois, cloudy with showers and thunderstorms moving in. Elsewhere becoming cloudy, showers and thunderstorms will move in after midnight, and lows will range from 38 in the north to 58 in the south. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy and warmer, but with occasional showers and thunderstorms. The highs from 63 north to 75 in the south. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, March 20th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, The Afternoon Magazine, agricultural programming, and other helpful information on our website, will.uiuc.edu. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.